After they had been walking for about an hour, the cave broke open to a larger space. As their flashlight beams bounced off the moisture that cast a sheen on the high ceilings and far walls, it became apparent that the cavern was as big as the lobby of a grand hotel. The floor was almost flat. At the far end, opposite where they had come in, was the only other opening, which loomed as large as a garage door. Schroeder had been examining the space with an eye towards setting up ambush, and had decided, with its nooks and wall crannies, that it would make an ideal killing field. Carla had wandered over to the other entrance, where she swept the interior with her light and stepped inside. "Uncle Carl," she called out, her voice echoing. He strode over to where she knelt on the cavern floor. Illuminated in the bullseye of light from her flashlight was a brownish mass of vegetation.
"What is it?" Schroeder asked.
She didn't answer right away. After a moment, she said, "It looks like elephant scat." She stood up and touched it with the toe of her boot. A musky, grassy smell arose from the mound. "I think I need to sit down." They found a wall outcropping to sit on and refresh themselves from their water bottles. Carla told Schroeder about the baby mammoth that had been discovered not far from the cave entrance. "I couldn't figure out how it could be so well preserved," she said. "No one has ever found a specimen like that. It seemed to have died only days or weeks ago."
"Are you suggesting that there are woolly mammoths living in these caves?"
"No, of course not," she said with a laugh. "That would be impossible. Maybe they once did, though, and the scat is very old. Let me tell you a story. In 1918, a Russian hunter was traveling through the taiga, the great Siberian forest, when he saw huge tracks in the snow. For days he followed the creatures that made them. They left behind piles of dung and broken tree branches. He described seeing two huge elephants with chestnut hair and massive tusks."
"An apocryphal hunter's tale with no evidence, meant to impress."
"Possibly, but the Eskimos and North American Indians recounted legends of great shaggy creatures. In 1993, the skeletons of dwarf mammoths were found on Wrangel Island, between Siberia and Alaska, not far from here. Their bones were dated between 7,000 and 3,700 years ago, which means mammoths roamed the earth well past Paleolithic times, when men were building Stonehenge and the pyramids."
Schroeder chuckled and said, "You'd like to explore further, wouldn't you?"
"I wouldn't want to waste an opportunity like this, sitting around and twiddling our thumbs. Maybe we'll come across some well-preserved specimens." The chestnut stallion galloped across the verdant Virginia countryside as if it were racing neck and neck in the Kentucky Derby. Jordan Gant crouched in the saddle like an overgrown jockey and whipped his crop repeatedly on his mount's bleeding haunches. The horse had been running at the same punishing pace for miles and was almost beyond its endurance. Gant crossed meadows and pastures and rode along the edge of a driveway bordered by poplar trees until he came to a sprawling country house. He headed to a stable area near the house and allowed the exhausted animal to come to a trot, then a walk, and finally to a halt. Gant slid easily out of the saddle, took a towel from a waiting groom, and carelessly tossed him the reins. The horse was limping as it was led away. Gant strode up a stone walkway toward the front door. The massive wooden front door opened at Gant's approach, and he stepped into an enormous foyer with a fountain bubbling in the center. Gant handed his gloves and towel to the cadaverous butler who had opened the door. The butler said,
"Your guest has arrived, sir. He's waiting in the library."
"A Bombay sapphire martini for my guest, straight up, and the usual for me."
The butler bowed and disappeared down a long hallway. Gant went through a door off the foyer into a spacious chamber lined with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, filled with the priceless volumes that he collected. Margrave stood near a set of French doors that overlooked manicured lawns that were as green as the top of a billiard table.